Hello, this is Sally Cronin with another story from Tales from the Irish Garden. Last time, Queen Filigree and Prince Ronan were married and had gone on an extended honeymoon to Meath with his parents. After the festival. Following the departure of the royal party and the happy bride and groom, the court slowly recovered from the whirlwind romance and non-stop festivities. However, for the two princesses, it was proving difficult to return to their previous studies and lessons in etiquette. Without their mother to monitor their every move, they found it quite easy to slip away for a few hours into the magic garden or the forest to wander the paths, spy on the forest folk, and fly around the treetops in a very unladylike manner. But after a few days, even this began to lose its charm, and on overhearing one of the footmen discussing a summer festival in the kingdom beyond Michael's dairy farm, they decided to push the boundaries of decorum even further. Dressed in clothes borrowed from one of the younger chambermaids and their faces wiped clean of makeup and sparkling powder, the two young women blended in with the excited festival-going crowd. It was dark by the time they reached the neighbouring kingdom and they relished their anonymity as they watched the dancers exuberantly welcoming the new season by firelight. Princess Persephone slowly and painfully regained consciousness and, keeping her bleary eyes closed, tried to establish exactly where she was. Her wings might have been gossamer thin and delicate, but right now they felt like a ton of bricks. Her head was pounding, and it seemed that her body had been stretched over a barrel that was making munching noises. She felt obligated to make some form of protest at the stream, but found that her mouth was too dry. Her tongue was glued to the roof of her mouth. By all the gods, including Zeus and Hades, what had someone done to her? The last thing she remembered was drinking some gold label honey nectar made by the Lapersian brewery in a cave near Glendalough. She was sure she had only had a couple. It had tasted as sweet and innocent as its name. The crunching and chewing sounds continued beneath her, and finally she managed to open her eyes, nearly falling off the barrel. In front of her face was a delightful tiny straw hat perched between two very large ears sticking out at right angles. Persephone burped in a very unregal manner and covered her mouth with a shaky hand. "Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear," she mumbled behind her fingers. "Narcissus was going to kill her when she got hold of her." "Are you talking to me?" she heard a rather squeaky voice from somewhere in front of her. Persephone managed to raise herself up into a sitting position and, without making too many sudden moves, surveyed her surroundings. "Hello? Is anybody there?" She glanced from left to right, carefully manoeuvring her still weighty wings. She waited expectantly, head tilted to one side. "It's about time you woke up, you little madam." The voice seemed clearer now that the chewing sound had ceased. "I have been carrying you all night, and my feet are killing me, which, if you're wondering, is why we're in the middle of this stream of cold water." The head attached to the hat and ears in front of her swung around so that one very large brown eye was staring up at her. Persephone was now very confused and began to suspect that someone had slipped her a Mickey Finn into her glass of honey nectar last night. Her mother had warned both girls that things were a little more relaxed at parties in their new home, and that should they be out in company, some boyo might take advantage of them. This particularly applied to any drinks they were offered and to make sure they kept an eye on their glasses at all times. She was in so much trouble, and no doubt she had managed to ditch Narcissus at some point, would get it in the neck, a frequent occurrence. She had to get out of this hallucination as fast as possible and find her way back to the festival site. She must locate her sister quickly and return home with her. Otherwise, when the queen arrived back from honeymoon, she would have her wings clipped for the next month, and no doubt locked in the dungeons in the palace under the magnolia tree for good measure. She tried to slip off her mount into the water and in the process discovered that she'd been riding a sizable spotted deer. What was even weirder was that it seemed to be decorated with bits and pieces of her sister's eclectic outfit she'd been wearing last night, including that saucy fascinator now perched between its ears. "Oh, no, you don't, missy," a protesting voice issued forth from beneath her. "Now that you're sobering up, you can undo the damage you did last night." "Damage? What damage?" Persephone was becoming irritated by this badgering that made her head pound even more. "I'm the one who's been drugged and stuck in the middle of this hallucination with you, so back off." Having finally managed to slip off the back of the deer, Persephone found herself up to her knees in freezing water. She was also now on the level of the animal's head and could look straight into those big brown eyes that appeared to be vaguely familiar. "Now do you get it, you little spoiled brat?" The harshness of the words and tone were slightly alleviated by the sight of several water lily stems hanging from the sides of the deer's mouth. The enormity of the situation had a sobering effect on Persephone as she lifted her legs in and out of the icy water. Things were beginning to come back to her, and this was definitely not good. Not good at all. She clung to the neck of the creature, and as she felt the big heart thumping away beneath her hand, it brought back the hypnotic sound of the drums reverberating around the campfires at the festival last night. As the honey nectar had taken effect, she had felt herself released from her regally ingrained decorum, rising to her feet to dance in time to the intoxicating beat. Despite her sister's repeated protestations, Persephone had been swept away with the other revellers in a wild and organic melee. She swayed as she remembered the thrill and the fever of that freedom. "I see it's coming back to you, madam, and you better sober up fast because I'm not carrying you any further." Persephone decided that if she was not to freeze her sparkly slippers off, they had better move from the stream onto dry land. She gently grasped the halter of flowers around the deer's neck, leading her onto a grassy bank strewn with daisies. These proved irresistible to the animal, who dipped her head to chew enthusiastically. Persephone lay back on the softness of the emerald-coloured grass and white and yellow flowers for a moment, then shot upright and placed her head in her hands. "Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, what have I done?" She looked over at the object of her despair, who had turned her head at the sound of her name being called. "What have you done, Missy? Is to cast a spell on me last night, just because I was trying to stop you making an exhibition of yourself in front of all those strangers?" The deer wandered off, her fascinator falling off her head and into Persephone's lap. Her sister picked it up between shaking fingers and looked up into the eyes that she knew so well. "You better be able to fix it, you little minx, otherwise mother is going to exile you to live alone on Inishtusket for the rest of your life." A hint of maliciousness crept into the vitriolic tirade. "You will never meet a Prince Charming there, will you?" Persephone could tell that Narcissus, who she often told people was aptly named, was getting more and more riled up, and that never bode well. I know, don't worry, I can fix this." And with that, she scrabbled around in her Hessian bag that she still thankfully slung around her body. Desperately, she searched the deep and dark interior, looking for her spellbook. Finally, just as she thought it had fallen out as she had rolled drunkenly around on the deer's back, her fingers closed over the spider's web cover. The dark brown eyes of her sister looked on expectantly as Persephone flicked through the book of spells, one minute nodding her head and then the next, shaking it in frustration. Then, with a huge sigh of relief, she found what she was looking for. She stood up shakily and, replacing her right hand on the large, wide forehead of the deer, she uttered the required antidote to the original spell. Flabbergast and flippity-gibbet, with a twist of flighty fingers of fidgeters, returned my sister to her original body. She paused and then added a little insurance policy, and befuddled her brain into forgetting all that passed last night. Which is why the disgraceful shenanigans of the young Princess Persephone have remained a secret until today, and are only being revealed to you, the select few. Thanks very much for joining me today, and I hope you've enjoyed this tale from the Irish Garden, and we'll tune in again next week.